Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, friends. It is wonderful to be with you here this morning. Nice and warm in here. Not so much outside, but that's okay. We're going to be good here while we praise God together. My name is Deacon Loretta Jobe. I'm a retired deacon that hangs out and does ministry here with all of you. This is a church that likes to know God, love God, and serve God. We do that in a variety of ways. You got a welcome card inside your bulletin this morning. Please sign in. Let us know you're here. Also on that card, you'll find opportunities to get involved in a variety of things in ministry and mission. Please look that over. If you mark something on that card, please turn it in to the collection plate. You will get contacted, I promise. We had somebody comment the other day that they got a call the same day, so they were pretty surprised and pleased by that. So please let us know how it is that we can serve you better. There are also prayer cards in the pew backs. This is a praying congregation. If you or someone you know is in need of prayer, please fill one of those out, and it will get to the prayer group. Also, the ability to have that in the bulletin is on that card as well. Today we have a guest who will be bringing our message today. Pastor Bob Fuchs is here. It is great to have him back in the building. Also this morning, Kelly and Claire Myers will be here helping with worship, and we've got the choir up here sounding good. I heard them warming up earlier, so that'll be great. I have a number of announcements this morning, and I'm going to apologize because I'm going to read a couple of them because they're a little lengthy. So the first one is they are looking for actors for the Maundy Thursday presentation. If you recall, we do a reenactment of the Last Supper. We are looking for 12 guys, obviously. To fill in those spots. It's not a long memorization of anything. You're going to sit in a pose of Da Vinci's Last Supper, and one by one each disciple delivers a short soliloquy of what has been in their thoughts as Jesus says one of them will betray him. It doesn't have to be memorized. It does help. There are rehearsals. Contact Susan if you are interested. If you came in this morning through the community room, you saw the puzzles are growing. Everybody is bringing them in. It's great to see, but we want them to go. So on February 25th, we'll be doing the exchange part. You can take one home, put in a donation for the new vans. This is a fundraiser for the vans, for work vans for Redbird. It is our fantastic mission for the year, and you can contact Vicki Dutcher. Vicki, would you raise your hand? I know you're in here. There she is. You can contact Vicki if you have any questions. On March 16th, we will be going on a historical tour of Detroit. Through the lens of the city's history and landscape, we're going to gain a better understanding of how and why racism is still a major factor in human relations. It's called the Arc of Justice Tour. It will be on the morning. We will leave here at 8:30 and carpool, if we can, down to Detroit for that tour. Kara Shule is the contact person for that. And of course, the Easter egg hunt is coming up. Gotta get those Easter eggs filled. So if you've got candy at home or you're going to run to the store to pick something up, grab some extra candy, nut-free, please, and individually wrapped, and we'll get those baskets filled. We do about 2,000 pieces of candy. So please keep that in mind. Also, volunteers are needed to help with that sign-up. The Easter egg hunt is on Saturday, March 6th at 10 a.m. here on the Brighton campus and 1 p.m. at the Whitmore Lake campus. My last announcement, if you are going to participate in the book study for the third day that starts this morning after this service, they will be meeting initially in the community room. Look for Pam Cummer. Pam's sick. Her husband is James is taking her place. Look for James Cummer or Julie R. Curry, and they'll get you in the right direction to start that book study. Enjoy it. That is all the announcements for this morning, and so we're going to go on and start our worship service. Would you please rise and join in our first hymn?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let us lift up our hearts and voices as we join in the opening prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, we come in gratitude, seeking your presence in our lives. And as you healed Mary Magdalene, we also seek the healing of our souls, our minds, our spirits, and our physical bodies. As we walk with you, lead us away from a scene of life of chaos and emptiness to experiencing a life of trust, peace, and joy. Amen. Please be seated.
Today's scripture reading is from Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, and John chapter 20, verses 1 through 2, and 11 through 18. Soon afterward, he went on through one town and village after another, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, as well as some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward Cusa, and Susanna, and many others who ministered to them out of their own resources. And now from John. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Sacrifice shall be thy loss.
Is this love?
Thank you so much, choir. Well, Loretta already introduced me, and I know many of you. I was a member of this church since 1989, and I'm still a member of this church, although I haven't always been a member of this church. There was a short time where I left, and it was by choice. Actually, it was by bishop appointment. I went into the ministry in 2016 and served first here as an associate from 2017 until I was appointed downriver to Taylor in 2020. I retired, I'll put that in, I don't have both sets of fingers, I retired last year, but for those of you who know me, I have way too much energy to stop. So retirement may or may not stick, but it is a blessing to be back here at First Church in Brighton and Whitmore Lake as we enter into this first Sunday of Lent and we begin this new study series. Now, up on the screen, that's my mom, Mary Ann Scanlon. That's later in life. Mom always made life fun when we were growing up. We had a great time. She was committed to her family. She was committed to faith. But the reading from Luke's Gospel brought back other memories of my mom. And when I was in my early 20s, mid-20s, and the reason it did is Luke's gospel mentions demons, right? We hear that word demons. Now, we're not exactly sure what demons Luke was referring to. Luke does not list them. He just says there were seven, right? We hear that there were seven demons that Mary was struggling with and that Jesus healed her. And the reason I thought about my mom is my brothers and sisters and family members, we started noticing changes in my mom's behavior. And at first, they were unable to figure it out, and they started off minor, little things, but then they became more and more pronounced. She was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and I know there may be another term for it today, but that's what it was known as back then. Actually, there was a term that was even before then, but untreated, for those of you who know someone who's experienced this, they can swing from highs and lows like you cannot imagine, and it can happen like that. There would be days when she had so much energy that you couldn't stop her. She had flights of ideas and would try new things and go down different paths, and then the next day, she would be so low, so depressed that she couldn't even get out of bed. And this is what my mom experienced. And I said to Sue, actually, my wife, after we had started dating, and I realized she never met my mom. She met this other person. Now, I will tell you, medication did help. But one of the challenges with people with bipolar disorders, when they think they're doing okay, they stop taking those meds. And you go right back in that cycle. Through a lot of healing, love, support, Mom wound up okay. It was rough. She wound up living with my sister, and I give thanks that Deb was willing to take Mom in for the number of years. Now, Mom died in 2010. It's hard to believe it's been that long. She would have been 90 this past Christmas Eve. And you know what? I still miss her. I still wish she was here. All right, it's a rather deep opening for this week, isn't it? To start off this sermon series. But Lent does that to us. It gives us a chance to reflect. right? To look at our lives at different points, how we've been shaped by our experience, what our faith means to us, all those different pieces come into play. And it's also when we look at our faith, our individual faith and our relationship with Jesus and our relationship with the community, the impact that that encounter with Jesus, that encounter with Christ has on our lives, and then how we respond to that love of Christ. Now, Loretta mentioned it. I actually have a copy of the book here. If you haven't picked one up, they are available. And it's a study that we're going to be using throughout Lent. And it's looking at Jesus' followers and the impact Jesus had on their lives and on their actions, the things that they did. Now, Loretta mentioned you can meet outside in the community room afterwards at 9:30. There's also one at 11 a.m., correct? And then I've written these down. I don't have them memorized. I'm not that good. There's one at Whitmore Lake Campus that actually started last Sunday. And there are additional groups. Men with Tools is going to be doing this study on Tuesdays at 9 a.m. And Women of the Word is, I understand, going to be doing this study as well Thursdays at 1 p.m. Those are all correct? So if you have an opportunity, I invite you to pick up one of the books, join in. And if you haven't read the first chapter, it's okay. Hopefully we'll give you enough information that you can take part in today's study if you want to at 9:30 or 11. So how many people know what Lent is? Good. I'm going to tell you anyways. It's the 40 days, right, leading up to Easter. But if you count the days, if you're a good number person like me, you realize, wait a minute, there's more than 40 days. It's because Sundays don't count. So today, technically, we're in Lent, but not part of Lent. It's weird, but that's the way it works. Now, if you were here on Ash Wednesday, even if you weren't, it's a time of repentance, it's a time of fasting, it's a time of preparation for the coming of Easter. And I received some of these words from the United Methodist Church website. It's a time of focus, reminiscent of Jesus' time in the wilderness before he started his public ministry. So that's what we're doing. You can find that in Mark 1, Matthew chapter 4, or Luke chapter 4. They mentioned Jesus' time in the wilderness. Now, we believe that Jesus went into the wilderness for a number of reasons, but one of them was to set aside those distractions of the normal worldly life that we all live. And the goal was to focus on God and God's will for what Jesus would do in his life. So we try to do those same things during Lent. We try to do the same things, although we don't do it quite that difficultly. I'm not asking any of you to go out into the wilderness without any food or shelter for 40 days. You don't have to do that. If you want to, we'll have a conversation. Not a good answer. But as we look at this third day series, it allows us to look beyond those 40 days. That's what's interesting, and how encountering Jesus can impact each of us. So in the coming weeks, you're going to hear about Simon Peter, you're going to hear about Paul, you're going to hear about Thomas, you're going to hear about two that were walking to Emmaus after the events that happened. But we're going to talk about how they were impacted by their encounters with Jesus. And today, we're beginning with Mary Magdalene, and as we look at her, she had demons to deal with, and we may recall times in our lives where we had demons to deal with. You know, those things in our lives that have negative impact on us, they can negatively impact our health, our relationships, our mental well-being, our spiritual well-being, our work life. You can go through the list and go on and on. Now, Mary, we know some things about her. Now, not much, though. It's surprising when you look at Scripture. We don't know much about her life before her encounter with Jesus. Now, her name gives us a clue. If you look at this map, you'll see a city called Magdala. It's on the left side of the Sea of Galilee there. And it's about 3 miles from north of Tiberias. And Matthew, the reason we bring this up is he references it in chapter 15:39. He talks about this city, and it's right after Jesus fed the 4,000. It says this in Matthew 15:39. After Jesus had sent the crowd away, he got into the boat and went to the vicinity of Magdala. So that's where Mary's name came from, Mary Magdalene, Mary of Magdala. Now, we don't know if this is when Jesus met her. He may have on that visit, right? That may have been when he healed her. We don't know much more about her. Now, there's other ancient writings and also some very, very creative people who have looked at her life and tried to make assumptions, educated guesses, or just fiction to make the story more interesting. The issue we run into is Mary was a very common name in Jesus' time. And so it's not surprising when we have other Marys mentioned that people will try to make those connections. And they may not be correct. We don't know for sure. I mean, it's been presented that she, if you're familiar with Scripture, you can look this up, Martha and Lazarus, they had a sister named Mary. They were from Bethany. So does that fit? Don't know. Others believe she's the unnamed woman who washes Jesus' feet with her tears and dries them with her hair. Again, we don't know for sure. There's no way to really validate all these different opinions. What we do know, this is what we do know about her, that Luke's gospel records that he healed her. He cast out 7 demons, and he restored her to health. And we heard Claire read this today. Thank you, Claire. Outstanding job reading the scriptures this morning. As well as some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities, married called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out. Now, it doesn't tell us the negative impact those demons had on her. So just take a moment and think about someone you know who struggled with an addiction of any kind, alcohol, drugs, or who has an illness that they can't overcome, be it physical, emotional, or mental. And how did those demons affect their lives, affect your life with them? Think a little bit about that as we wonder how Mary might have been impacted by 7 demons. It's not an easy thought. She probably had trouble functioning in the community. Her relationships were probably frayed. And she was probably scared. And so when we look at Mary, we're gonna expand the story. We're going to try to make those connections to our lives, to others' lives, so that we can say, those blanks need to be filled in. It wasn't easy for Mary. And we know this, that after she was healed, Jesus cast out 7 demons from her. Jesus healed her. And after that happened, she followed Jesus as one of his disciples. She supported his ministry from her means. And that would indicate, for those of you who always say follow the money, she probably had some resources, right? How else would she be able to support him during his ministry unless she did that? But look what her first encounter with Jesus did. It caused her to change her life entirely, to dedicate her life to traveling with Jesus, to following him, to serving him, to learning from him, to being with him, supporting him. And the fact that Luke mentions her name, it's clear that she was one of his disciples. And she was probably part of that inner circle. That's what we believe. Now, it's the beginning of Lent. We've just started. And to look at the other times that Mary is mentioned in the Gospels, that means we have to jump forward a bit to the day of Jesus' death and then the morning after the Sabbath, that day that Christians recognize as that first Easter. Now, since we know the rest of the story, I don't think I have to say to anybody, spoiler alert, right? I'm not surprised. If any of this surprises you, it's because it's your first time hearing the story. But it shouldn't. All 4 Gospels, I want you to think about this. If you go through and look at things that are in all four Gospels. There are some, but all four Gospels tell us that Mary was among those who were there as Jesus hung on the cross. Mary stayed close. They also tell us that she was there when he died. We know that. She suffered along with him. And now the one who had healed her, the one who she had been accepted by, was gone and dead. Now, the author of the book, Tom Berlin, reminds us that seeing someone we love, seeing them die, is the moment that stays with us. And if you've ever been in a room or somewhere where someone has died, you can probably recall that and share it to this day, whether it was last week or years ago. I still remember being there when my mom passed, and it's never faded from my memory. Now, if the death comes in a surprising manner, and we've experienced this in this congregation and in our lives of a young person or after an accident, suddenly or surprisingly at an age where you're like, wait a minute, I just saw them last week. They were healthy. Everything was good. And now they're gone. We don't have time to prepare, do we? And then that impact, it can be a little bit more profound. So if you look at Mary and those who watched Jesus die, just imagine what was on their hearts and minds after that happened. This is a culmination of a series of unexpected events. It started off with him coming into town, riding on a donkey, celebrated. And it winds up with his arrest, his trial, his torture, his crucifixion. After being celebrated, he was killed. And his followers and many knew that Jesus was innocent and it didn't matter. He had a life of teaching, right? Of showing love, of casting out demons, of healing, of announcing the kingdom of God on earth. So if you imagine the group around them, there's no way to make sense of what happened. And for us, it's similar, right? When we grieve, those first few days might feel like we're living in a fog. Anyone remember that experience where you're not even sure what's going on around you? And when we look at Mary, you have to believe those same things were happening to her. It's the third day since Jesus' death, and Mary, she was probably still in shock. She was probably still living in that fog. Her heart was broken. And the author even talks about how, imagine the person who cast out those demons is gone. Would she be in fear of those demons coming back? Would the protection be gone? She didn't know. Jesus' body had been rushed into a tomb. There wasn't a proper burial. And if we look at the calendar, probably about 36 hours had passed since it happened, because it happened on a Friday, according to our records that we know, and it was Sunday, the day after the Sabbath. Do you think Mary might have had trouble sleeping? And that's why she was up so early on that Sunday morning? I mean, can you relate? Those times where you can't move on. So she got up early, right? She's someone of action. She served Jesus, and she wanted to perform one more service, one more act of love. She was going to prepare Jesus' body with spices. This is one of the customs of the day. Now, the difference for us is we know the rest of the story, but Mary didn't know it. As she was making her way to the tomb, she didn't know it was Resurrection Day. She didn't know what was coming next. She just knew what she had to do. She wanted to be near Jesus one more time. John's Gospel, which was read this morning, tells us what happens next. She shows up, the tomb is empty, and she doesn't know where the body has gone. And then these two men in white, these angels, ask her why she is crying. Really? Let me go through the list for you. She doesn't go through the whole list, but just think about it. Let me see. The Messiah has been killed. His body's gone. My heart's broken. We don't know what is going to happen next. He healed me. I followed him, and now he's not with me. And yet she focused on his body being gone, saying that's why she was weeping. Anybody believe that's the only reason? I don't think so. I think that was the most recent event that broke her heart. And then Mary encounters Jesus, and he asks her the same question. Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for? And Jesus already knew the answer. So she encounters him again. She doesn't know who he is. And we don't know why she doesn't know. That's the other thing, is it's because her eyes were clouded by the tears, or maybe it was just that Jesus was hidden from her because he was now resurrected. We don't know. But we do know that when he said Mary's name, Mary, all of that changed. And when Jesus says your name, all of it can change. We can recognize Jesus in our lives. So in these few short moments for Mary, she went from despair and grief to joy and hope and possibility. So that's what happens when Mary encounters Jesus, and it's also what happens when we encounter Jesus. Because that power, that relationship, that opportunity remains true even today. Demons can be cast out. Lives can be changed. Healing can happen. Relationships with others can be made whole. That's what happens when we encounter Jesus, when we follow and serve, when we believe in something greater than ourselves, that we believe that we're not just put into this world to breathe and consume, but to serve, to love, to care for others, something that we can't even see. That's what we have to believe in. We can move from grief and sorrow to joy and hope. We can move to those new possibilities. In the world we live in today, Jesus is and remains the answer. When Mary asked, when they asked, "Who are you looking for?" It was Jesus Christ. And as Mary did, once we encounter Jesus, we need to do more, don't we? Encountering Jesus, and we see this throughout Scripture, is not a one-time event. It's an ongoing experience. It can happen to us at every moment. And Jesus, throughout his ministry, would say to those that he healed, "Don't tell anybody." We all know how that worked out. They told everybody. At this point, though, Jesus didn't want Mary to keep the good news to herself. He wanted her to go out and tell others what she knew, what she saw, what she experienced. So that's what she did. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. She has been called the apostle of the apostles. She was the first to share the surprising, amazing good news of Jesus Christ's resurrection. She also was telling them that there was still ministry to do, still people to serve. Jesus Christ was back, and that meant that the ministry did not end. And the disciples who had been scattered, I have to believe that this news brought them back together and allowed them to move forward. So for us, what does this mean for us? It's a great story, right? I can read it in the Gospels. I can watch many movies and shows about it, taking into account that some of them take liberties. But what does it mean for us? What it means for us is, as Mary went to the disciples and told them what she knew, we hear those same words, that we're to come together in faith, in love, and in hope. We're called to serve God and to serve others, to share the good news of Jesus Christ and the impact that it can have in our lives and in our world. Christ is called the light, and we need to let that light shine through us. Followers of Jesus Christ can help others. We can be present, just listening. We can offer prayer. We can guide. We can encourage. We can welcome. We can walk alongside. There's so many different ways that we can connect. And it's truly a gift because we don't expect anything in return. When we encounter Jesus in our lives, we shouldn't. And by the way, we really can't keep it to ourselves. I mean, just think about it. To be loved unconditionally, to be given God's grace, and that's available to everyone, not just a select few. And it doesn't matter what demons we face, Jesus still calls us by name and wants us to encounter him. And so we do need to be like Mary Magdalene as we follow Jesus, when we need to tell others what we know. We need to tell them that our lives are changed because of our relationship with Jesus. And that's our challenge that I'm going to present this first full week in Lent. And it's to tell others about Jesus. And I know for you introverts, I just scared you. But you don't even need to say anything. You can show it through your actions, through your words, however it is that you can show someone that you have encountered Jesus and the impact and difference it makes in our lives. Show them that unconditional love of Christ. Give them a chance to encounter Jesus Christ through you. Amen.
Bob, I'm one of those introverts. Thank God for your message this morning, your story, the detail that you gave us on Mary. And in fact, thank you for reminding us that Lent is a time of reflection. Ever since the Ash Wednesday service, I've been reflecting. In particular, Loretta read from Psalm 25:5, and there was a particular part of that struck me, and I think it relates to Mary's story. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. And last time I had a poem, and if you'll bear with me again, I have a second poem that I've saved since my days in high school that's been in my garage. And this, again, is called The Wayfarer. It's by Stephen Crane, who wrote Red Badge of Courage, and it's short. The wayfarer, perceiving the pathway to truth, was struck by astonishment. It was thickly grown with weeds. "Ha," he said, "I see that none has passed here in a long time." Later, we see that each weed was a singular knife. "Well," he mumbled at last, "doubtless there are other roads." And Jesus told us when he was in the upper room, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus is the truth, and following him is not always easy, but it is the road to take. Today we have three prayer quilts. One is for Cheryl, another for Eleanor, another for Paul. Please take time after the service to tie a knot, sign the cards, and say a prayer for each one of them. We also have altar flowers that are in memory of Sharon Cheney's birthday, sister of Marcia Voss. Now, please join me in an attitude of prayer. Almighty God, your name is majestic over all the earth, and your glory is set in the heavens. How could you love us so much to send your only Son to save us? not condemn us from our sins. Lord, you created us in your image. With everything else, you made in 6 days, and it was good. You rested from creating on the seventh day, blessed it, and made it holy, a day for us to worship our God. God, our Savior, show us your ways, teach us your paths, and guide us in your truth to give us hope. Transform us like Mary Magdalene, who called out, "Teacher," upon seeing the resurrected Christ. Mary, who had seen the terrible crucifixion of Jesus, came with love for Jesus to care for his body. Instead, she learned the truth of the risen Christ and was sent to tell his brothers the news. Like Mary, let us share the good news of Christ's resurrection with the same passionate love for him. Let us love Jesus, keeping his commands and obeying his teachings as he repeated in the upper room. Guide us in being purified by obeying the truth, obeying Jesus, so that we sincerely love each other. Encourage us to consult you, Lord, before we make decisions that affect others today and tomorrow. As we go through another election year, let us look to you, not culture or politicians, for answers. How does our God see abortion, borders, finance, gender, race, war, and other political footballs? Help us avoid reckless words that hurt, but use truthful words that heal and endure forever. Let us repent of our sin, because thinking we are without sin is to deceive ourselves and not have truth in us. Hear us as we silently confess our sins, because you are a faithful, just, and forgiving God. Let us remember Jesus as the Word living among us in glory, as God, the only Son, full of grace and truth. Let us share Jesus as the way and the truth and the life, the only way to our Heavenly Father. Hear us now as we recite together the prayer that Jesus taught us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
To receive today's offerings, it's also your connection cards and prayer cards can go in those plates. If you are a first-time visitor here, know that your presence with us is gift enough for today. We hope that something in the service has touched your heart and that you will return and visit with us again. If you are a regular attender, we want to thank you for all that you have done, both with your time and talents and monetary efforts, to make this church all that it is today, a shining light in this community. Hello.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, accept the humble offerings we bring to your church from what you have first given us. Through our offerings, we hope to spread the word of your saving grace. We hope to share a life of hope and joy with those who don't yet know you. Amen.
As we continue our journey through Lent, you can let others know the rest of the story. Go out into the world, sharing that love of Jesus Christ, showing them an encounter with a risen Savior can change our life and this world. Go in peace. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.